Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Hello, good evening, good afternoon, good night. We're here to keep you warm if you just make us feel loved. Welcome to the show, and thank you for listening again. How was that for a new intro, Jeff? Was that good?
I like that. That's sharp.
I think it is a good catchphrase of, we're going to keep you warm, you just make us feel loved. Welcome to the show.
This is probably a little dated, but if you got dressed up in your like Sunday suit when you were like 10, and your mom would say, you look sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still used today, or is it more about the drip?
Well, I don't know what the moms are currently doing, but if they want to comment on our social media sites, we could.
Yeah, please.
Please do.
Speaking of that, Tiffy's a mom. She could tell us what moms are telling their children.
And this shout out, we're going to ask you, Tiffy, do moms still look at their little boys and say, you're looking sharp?
Or do they say, you got the drip?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Do you say, man, your clothes are on fleek?
On fleek. I think on fleek is left. But I had learned, I went through this phase of where I was trying to learn how to talk to the kids of today. And I learned that one. And then it's just like as soon as you learn it, it's like gone and they're on to something new.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. It moves so fast. It's very quick, quick, quick. Stop, stop, stop. Go, go, go with trends and the kids.
I would agree.
I mean,
keeping up with the shout outs. Yeah. I want to shout out to Vivian.
Vivian, as always. Or if Tiffy's the queen of the podcast, I feel like Vivian's definitely a princess, right?
Yeah, Vivian's way up there. If you're listening, Vivian, we appreciate you and your interaction. I tried to friend her. I couldn't find the thing. Maybe we're already friends. I don't know. But definitely, we appreciate you listening. Seems like, we could do our normal shout-outs, but let's just do this one for the ladies. Vivian and Tiffy.
Vivian and Tiffy as our only shout-outs? You know what? I don't know if it's going to work in most of the country, but I think an all-female shout-out will play just fine with our audience.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do a guys and dolls thing. So we're doing the ladies, and we're not sure what pronouns everybody uses. So we're just going to say, Vivian and Tiffy, we appreciate you and shout out.
Yeah. Thank you. So should we jump right into it, Jeff?
Yeah. Let's dive in, man.
Okay. So what I wanted to talk about for this episode is repeating unhealthy patterns, behavioral patterns, I should say. And I mentioned to you that I wanted to talk about this, and we had some good points earlier. I guess just like some backstory of why I wanted to talk about this is because it's been kind of a weird week, and I guess it's been weird since the season change.
It feels yes. like.
And
yes.
I find myself repeating unhealthy patterns when I feel like I'm in a bad mood. And the pattern that I have, and I want to try and just figure out how to like work on it better and be more mindful of it and try to stop in the situation and just take a step back and, you know, cool it and try and get centered. I feel overwhelmed about something, whatever it is, whatever the fuck is going on in the world. And I respond emotionally, which is usually like an anger, or it's snippy, or it's just like a really shitty attitude. And then I immediately feel bad about it. And feel like guilt and shame for doing that, because that's not how I want to interact with people. That's not how I want to talk to people. And that's not how I want to be as a person. really. I want to spread empathy and understanding and the funnies. So how do I?
You know, I yeah. I think you. I mean, you have described, and I know we like to think. Some people think, well, therapists don't have problems, or I'm the only one with problems, or whatever. But I think we all have patterns that are repetitive, and so what I say is, when my energy is low or my energy is off, I go back to those patterns because it doesn't take as much energy or thought, because they are patterns that I am comfortable with or familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make a new pattern or to do something that is positive or useful or a growth mindset sometimes takes more energy, especially when we're learning it or it's a new pattern.
Yeah. And so, because I mean, and I mentioned this earlier before we started recording, but like I feel like it's kind of true that like us as humans, we're kind of natural. We want a routine. We set up a system for ourselves to want to rebel against.
Yes. You've got a lot of wisdom, my friend. I think one of the things, I think the first step is realizing we have patterns.
Mm.
We know, I mean, I think people know they have patterns, but realizing what is the pattern you want to change. It could be a toxic pattern, it could be an unhealthy pattern, or it could just be something you want to do different.
Mm.
But I think when you're able to learn what your patterns are, then you can start changing them. If we don't have any knowledge or any awareness or willingness to look at what our patterns are, there's no way we're going to change them.
Yep. And it's very hard to be self-aware like that. Like it's depressing. It's, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to like, I used to have a lot of trouble like actually looking at myself in the mirror. And I mean, I've gotten better about it, because I mean, I just have to accept who I am, what I right. look like, the weird, the beard and the bald head, and it's fine. Like I've grown to accept it, especially because I mean, I've been bald longer than I did when I actually had hair, I think.
Gotcha.
I don't know. But
yeah, it's uncomfortable to look at, and we started this podcast way back, I guess it was about 12 years ago when we started the whole thing.
Yeah, we've been brewing on this a long time.
Oh yeah, man, it's been really. But you know, when we started the podcast, it was about therapy, and therapy can be helpful. So we wanted to have it have a traumatic kind of thing, but we all wanted it to be about healing. And so I think one of the things about that I found when I'm in therapy, or sometimes with my clients, is that the external person can see the pattern sometimes that we have trouble seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so a friend can too, but a friend has an interest and an investment. And so it's easier sometimes when there's an attached person that can say, oh, I see this pattern.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I see you doing over and over again. And sometimes that's like, oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that. And so then you can start saying, okay, I like that pattern or I don't. And if I don't like it, what am I going to do differently?
Yeah.
How am I going to change things up?
Mm-hmm. Man, and that hit me really hard when I was doing therapy and I started doing the schema therapy.
Mm. Yeah.
And I got that. What the fuck is that book called? Changing. It's like, I don't know. Okay, I can't remember the name. I should remember it. It's somewhere in this fucking house, but it's a book that helps identify like schemas, and like schemas mm-hmm. are like the traits that are like inherently you and like come from your upbringing and your surrounding and all that jibber jabber.
Yeah.
There's like a 300 question, or not even a questionnaire, it's like a statement error. It's like,
all right,
these, it's not questions, it's just statements of like this and this dick butt. And it's like, how do you feel about this? or like, and so like I've been able to kind of like learn and pinpoint where like my values are, or at least where my faults are.
Yeah. And
the biggest one of my schemas is feeling defective.
Hmm. You know, one of the other reasons I think we started this podcast is where, I mean, we have a lot of fun. We make jokes. We do silly things. But we wanted to destigmatize the whole process of mental health. And it is hard work to do therapy. It is hard work to examine ourselves. But it also can be really good work. And so the whole idea of what we're talking about is sort of, you know, therapy, it's not always easy. Sometimes it can be downright painful.
Yeah.
But it is about finding a person that's going to look at you and say, you know what, I accept you as you are, but let's see what you want to work on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, giving you that kind of acceptance that we need, that radical acceptance.
Yeah.
And letting you be who you are. And then you feel more comfortable being who you are. And then you're like, oh, this other person knows all my secrets and they don't think I'm a piece of shit. You know, they sort of like me. So, you know, maybe I'm not as bad as I think I am. And then if you can let go some of that shame and guilt, you can sort of say, okay, so I'm just going to work on my stuff. I'm not a horrible person. I'll just work on my, whatever my goal is.
Yeah, it really does help to have just a unbiased opinion of like a professional who knows how to kind of like help you piece these what is essentially one-sided conversations together to kind of put up this mirror of like, do you see where you said that and like this? And it's like, oh shit, no, but fuck.
Yeah, yeah, we don't even realize we say stuff sometimes because we're inside our head. We're not outside. We can't see from the outside. And so like, here's a little secret for you, for everybody. I mean, therapists do learn some very specific techniques. They learn some training. What they mainly learn is how to be ethical and how to handle certain things. But really what most therapists are doing is they're listening to you. They're truly giving you an hour of time where they listen. And they are concerned about you and they want to have a relationship with you. I mean by relationship, just to be in conversation. Mm-hmm. So we're listening. And in our society, we don't really listen. People don't listen to each other. They want to talk about themselves. And so with the therapist, they're not talking about themselves. They might mention things about themselves, but it's not about them. It's about you. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just about being heard. And when I've been in therapy, it just feels really nice for somebody to listen to you and you know, they're interested.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, it really helps to just have someone present in the moment, helping you work on your shit. Like it helps you not be alone in it and be like, oh, well, I have all this, this shit all over the floor of my fucking brain. I got to clean all this up. And it's like, I don't even know how. And they just hand you a mop. And they help clean the shit.
But it also helps that somebody's seen your shit and is like, you know what? I still like you. I still want you to come and talk to me.
Yeah, it's because we are not our shit.
We are not our shit. Our shit is our shit.
Our shit is
but
the
we
toxic,
are not our shit.
Yeah, we flush it out. We get it out of us. Sometimes we get into these patterns where we do a certain thing because we're so fucking used to it.
Yeah. But
at the end of the day, we are our actions, but we are not the intrusive thoughts, the shitty thoughts, the addiction to a fucking soda.
Right. Yeah. You know, and patterns, there's all kinds of different patterns that we do. And I think it's just, they're sort of self-sabotage things. It's just like, you know, we do things because we think we're not worthwhile, or we're just not wanting to deal with stuff, so we hide. Or we might be, like you mentioned, you know, you get grumpy, or you might not treat people as well, whatever. I mean, some of my patterns is I isolate, or I sort of, you know, don't deal with my feelings because I just like, that's just too hard right now. So I detach. You know, and so we all have patterns, and that's where we're going to go when we're low. But we can also break those patterns, and we can do things to sort of change those patterns. And it doesn't have to be a huge change. It can be a little change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do this. It can be a tiny, like, switch. It doesn't have to be, that's the other thing we think, oh, we have to fix everything all at once.
Yeah.
You don't have to fix it all at once. You just have to be aware and make a little change. It's like, so your awareness that things are changing with the season and that you might be acting a little different, that's a huge part of the solution, because you're aware and you're like, I don't like this.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of other factors too. I mean, I feel like I'm still adjusting to the new place and trying to replant my roots. And like, I don't regret my decision. It's just adjusting to the new change of what this is.
Yeah.
And
then you, like you said before, we like ritual. So when you change your environment, mm-hmm. we go into some of those patterns, because it's like, there's new stuff here. There's stuff I got to adjust to. So what's my default?
Yep.
Where can I go that's comfortable? Because this is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So we go into those defaults again, because it's like, we need something that's familiar.
Absolutely. And if the environment is not familiar, you're going to fall back to a familiar mindset and pattern. And that's what I'm ultimately worried about, is like, I'm like questioning, am I actually healing, or mm-hmm. am I just, is it a few steps back sometimes and then a few more steps forward?
But just remember, as we change, if we look at the model of change as sort of a circle that goes upwards,
mm-hmm.
even if you step back, that doesn't take away any progress you've made. It just means you are maybe right now on a lull, but it doesn't take you back to square one. And that's what a lot of people will say is, oh, well, I've done this thing, so now I'm back. With all the work I've done is worthless.
Yep.
Let's use like an alcohol use disorder. So you've been clean for a year and then you use, and you're like, all that is wasted. No, it's not wasted, because tomorrow you can not drink again.
Yep.
We get like focused on these, oh, how many days have I not done something or whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is today.
God.
So are you clean today? Then good.
Man.
Then tomorrow's another day. Are you clean tomorrow? We love to be like, we've got this many wins in a row. It's like, that doesn't matter. All that matters is today.
If that's the mindset that helps some people, then by all means, follow it, do it. I'm not judging you for that. I'm judging the idea of, yeah, because I'm bad about that. I'm like, oh, it's been 10 months since I've had a cigarette.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's good. That if that is useful to you to give you power. But then if you smoked a cigarette, then you're like, well, I screwed up, so I'm just going to smoke 10,000 cigarettes. It's like, you cannot smoke a cigarette tomorrow.
Yep.
You can start over again. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, I get it. We're so performance based, but what matters is what you're doing in the moment.
And being present.
Being present. And we all struggle with that. I think it's just, you know, oh God, I've done that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
fucking disassociate.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'll punish myself. So I'll go into this spiral of shame, and they'll be like, well, I've already fucked up, so I'm really going to fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well, because I'm worthless. You know, it's that process where our brain just takes over and just totally beats ourselves up.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know what? We'll just use alcohol for it. I had a drink. I wish I hadn't had a drink. I need to figure out why I had a drink. I'll go to a meeting tomorrow and we'll start over, and I'm not going to drink tomorrow. And so it's like, that whole thing is a much more productive thing than the whole, like, well, that's it. You know, give me a bottle of whiskey.
Well, back to the whole boys. Like,
so this is a little weird, but who is it? Like the drummer for Motley Crue,
Tommy Lee.
He said that he used to inject Jack Daniels into his veins when they ran out of cocaine.
God, I've heard a similar thing. It was, I can't remember. It was someone's dad, but they mentioned that they would also shoot up Jack Daniels. And it's like, whoa.
That seems like that would be just, I guess at the moment you're just like,
fuck,
you got to be pretty like dependent to shoot, you know. But you know what? Both those guys are clean now, and they're glad they're clean. Clean isn't the best word anymore. I mean, they're both not using.
I like the term California sober.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, and they don't want to go back, but both of those guys.
God.
When we talk about patterns, and this is not to take away from us, because we both have our own patterns of things we do. But one of the things I think that people find the most confusing when we're talking about patterns is that women are in a domestic violence situation sometimes perpetuate that in relationships. So they'll be in a situation where they're being abused. They will get out of that situation, and then they will find another partner that is similar. And people are like, why would you do that? And it's just patterns. It's what we have learned. It's what we think about ourselves. And women many times, or men that are in abusive situations, have been taught that they don't have value. And so they feel like they're not worth having a relationship that's healthy. Mm-hmm. And so it's that pattern. And what you see generally is as people cycle through, they get better and better and better. And they make healthier and healthier and healthier choices. Although that might mean that this guy is healthier because he doesn't put a gun to my head, you know, but you see things get better, but you have to be patient because they're learning. We're all learning. And so I know people are just like, well, just leave. And it's like, well, it ain't that easy. It's not easy that just to pick up and go somewhere where you don't know anything. And you've been told all your life you're a piece of shit and you're worthless and you don't deserve anything. You know, you can't just drop that. So the cycle, it takes patience. And I think we need to make sure we give ourselves patience, that it takes a while to change things, and it's not all going to just happen.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to think that as we try to progress forward, I'm not sure, because, I mean, I don't know a whole lot of people in that situation. I mean, I have met people in that situation, and I've been the shitty end of that, going like, oh, why don't you just leave?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think we're getting better at like trying to be patient and be like just supportive. Like, you know, I'm here. Like, if something happens, you know, you can stay with me. Even if it's just for a night.
Yeah.
Like, if you need to get out, it's,
yeah.
I think we're working towards like not shaming people for falling into these patterns. Cause when you're like you said, when you're told externally that you are a piece of shit, you're worthless, you don't mean anything, you're a stupid fucking fuck for lack of a better word. And when you're told internally in your own internal monologue that you're a stupid piece of shit and you're worthless and you don't matter to anyone, it's hard to combat that and get out of that mindset.
Yep. And I think the thing is, like what you're saying is being a friend, being a listener, being compassionate and saying, listen, you can come stay with me if you need to. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I still care about you even if you don't. I still care about you and I want you to be safe, but I'm willing to be here to listen to you talk about this instead of saying like, I'm not going to listen to you anymore because you should just leave.
Yeah. You keep making the same decision.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's like, you got to be patient and that's hard. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to be patient when you see somebody you care about suffering, but if you care about them, really, you're going to allow them to work through it. and trust that they will figure it out. And if you give them somebody that says, you can depend on me and you can talk about this, that gives them some freedom to work through it on their own. Mm-hmm. Instead of people saying like, I'm not talking to you anymore. Can you leave him? Yeah. It's like, all right, like, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. And like, first of all, no one likes a fucking I told you so person. Like, get fucked with that. No one likes to be made to feel small and insignificant when they're like, see, I told you so. You should have listened to me. It's like, you're not always right. And
isn't it interesting how we use that sometimes to avoid working on our own stuff? So we're going to go after somebody else and say, I wouldn't put up with that shit. Yet we're doing unhealthy things in our own lives, but we don't want to deal with that. So we're going to be like, I'm going to be on this and talk about this and why they're dumb. But you're like, I'm doing unhealthy stuff.
Yep.
But I don't want to deal with that. So it's just talk about other people's problems.
Yep. It's a projection of,
yep,
of what they truly feel. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I'm not guilty of it, too. I throw up that fucking screen and put on the projector that is my
emotions. We all emotions. Do it. All of us do. All of us do. I mean, real quick, just since we're talking about domestic violence, you know, there are lots of resources. And it is a hard – not only is it a hard pattern to break, the system is stacked against women trying to get out of these situations. So even if they want to leave, sometimes the legal system will not help them. So,
right.
But there are resources. I mean, so whatever county you live in, there should be some resources. There's some stuff online.
Yeah. There's the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number is 800-799-7233. If you prefer to text, you can text START to 88788, and there'll be someone there to at least like talk to you and can help you and point you in the right direction to work and untangle yourself to get out of that relationship. And it's so hard to get out of that because we desperately want to be loved. We desperately want...
Yeah.
To have companionship, whether it is with like a person or a dog. I mean, I'm talking about like there's different levels of loves and wants.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing is that's most important, every situation is different, but nobody should put hands on anybody. No man should be hitting a woman. No man should be strangling a woman. You shouldn't be putting emotionally abusing people. That's not okay. So if you're in a situation where somebody is harming you emotionally or physically, it's not you. It doesn't matter what they say that you, oh, if you had done this or you cooked my dinner better or whatever.
Yeah.
And also sexually, it's very important. Just because you are somebody's partner, that doesn't mean you have to be physical with them if you don't want to. So there's all kinds of different abuse. So that's the clear thing, is that nobody deserves to be harmed emotionally, sexually, physically in any way. And so if that's happening, you know, reach out for help. It's okay to reach out for help. It's not your fault.
Yeah, please do. And hopefully you can help break the unhealthy pattern of that codependency. 'Cause I struggle with that. Big time. Have you ever heard about the attachment theory?
Tell me about it. Just to see what it is.
It's some fucking guy.
It's always some fucking guy.
Some fucking guy. It has this theory about there being like four basic attachment styles that we as humans have with friends and family and love interest, right?
Okay.
So there is a so there's a anxious attachment style, there's avoidant, there is secure, and then there's what's the fourth one? I feel like it always has a different name. But I think it's like not disinterested, but something. Kind of want to look it up since, I mean, I took the time to look up the hotline number.
Yeah, detached or something?
Detached or what is it? Distracted? Disorganized. Distracted.
Disorganized. Interesting.
And so, like, I watched a really great video about it once that, like, broke it down with, like, movie tropes or movie character tropes, whatever. So the example they had for, like, anxious attachment theory was Anakin, where, like, they're very insecure in themselves. They're very insecure in their relationships with people. They often question their place, where they stand with people, and they have, a humongous fear of letting go.
Hmm.
And avoidant would be, like, the example for that would be Tony Stark, where he's very much, like, doesn't get emotionally involved and is very emotionally mm-hmm. distant, and that could be due to like a number of reasons, whether like that's kind of like what they saw growing up or whatever, but they're just very avoidant and distant and have a hard time of reciprocating love. So secure is obviously the most, it seems like, the ideal attachment style, where you're just kind of like secure in your attachments and you know where you stand with people and you feel confident in that. You know they love you. You love them. They got your back. Yeah. That example was Captain America.
Oh.
Where it's just it's fucking, it sounds very vanilla to me, but maybe that's because I'm just very damaged. So the last one, disorganized, is very much like kind of a weird middle ground between anxious and avoidant in a way, where it's like it's kind of like harder to keep track of your connections and how you like you are emotionally distant, but then even if you weren't, you wouldn't know how to like express what you're trying to say, kind of. And I could be completely wrong with disorganized because it's the one I'm least familiar with. But the example of that was Will Hunting from Good Will Hunting.
Hmm.
To where it's like, he's very gifted.
To, except for that last part, I'd like now to describe all psychological issues with Marvel characters.
Oh, we're doing that?
And in fact, instead of having diagnoses, we'll just be like, he's like a Tony Stark. Instead of like depression or whatever, narcissism, we'll just say, yeah, he's got the Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's got a Starkism.
He's Starked.
He's Starked. He's
a little Stark.
Starked.
He Starked us up.
God, what a Tony Stark.
You know, I went to a presentation today on ACEs, which is a sort of the, I can't remember what it means, but it's basically, have you had any kind of traumas in your life? And one of the things it talked about is that we need this reciprocal sort of ping pong-ish, like I'm going to hit the ball, you're going to hit the ball back. So like when we're born and we're crying and the mother comes and picks us up and hugs us, that's that back and forth. So we have that back. Or they're like, we say goo goo gaga and they say, oh, hi, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
It's that back and forth we need. And if we get that, our neurons in our brain grow and they attach and they grow bigger. If you don't have that, they don't grow, and some of them atrophy. And they actually showed a picture of a child that had been neglected, and abused versus a normal person. And there's these black spots in the brain where nothing grew, neuron. There's no activity. And so, I mean, it's very important that, I mean, of course, taking care of little ones, but we still do that every day. How we're talking to people, how people are talking to us, and I think most people just need acceptance. Yep. They just need somebody to say, you know what, I love you regardless. You know, there might be some things I want to work on or I want you to work on if you're in a relationship or whatever. But generally, just treating people with respect and letting them sort of work through their stuff.
Yeah.
And you working on your stuff.
Yeah, but it's I feel when I get overwhelmed and anxious, I feel like this almost like fight or flight mindset takeover, where I'm like kind of on autopilot and all the sensors are just like, you need to react like a fucking dick, because you gotta show that you're the primate with the biggest nuts here in this situation. And it's like a conversation like with a friend or a partner, and it's like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, well, you're beating your chest. And some of that is evolutionary. It's that what we do. It's that fight or flight. We have to protect ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're aware that you do some of those things. And so that is so important, because you're like, you can work on it. And so when you start to puff up your chest, and you can be like, hey, I need to work on this. You know, and just be patient with yourselves and be able to say, you know what? I've been thinking about this. So can I try not to just go towards that immediate reaction?
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll be successful and sometimes you won't. It's okay.
Yeah, it's so hard to communicate that while you're in the middle of the moment. So it's like,
yeah,
you're trying to be present and for the conversation. But then
is somebody else saying to you that you need to work on this, or is it more just you feeling like you need to work on it?
This is just me feeling like I need to work on it.
Yeah.
And I am kind of just giving it an example, but like the big thing is like feeling overwhelmed and like being busy. So it could attribute to like work or my schedule or just like the new schedule of like having that long drive home and like being so far out and like not seeing friends as much. And so it's like, I'm using talking as just an example, but it's all these like kind of like feelings and factors to where like they weigh heavy on me. So then by the time someone talks to me or approaches me, it's met with like this very dead inside shitty demeanor.
Right. You know what, though? I mean, I think, you know, so we've talked about some of this on the podcast. You've had some traumatic events in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you can look at yourself and say, still, I've got stuff I want to work on. But I think look at how healthy you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, is sometimes we want to look at the things we are not and say, I got all this stuff to work on. But you're a nice person. You're a talented person. You are working. You're kind. You have all these positive things about you. And so, you've got things you want to work on. And I think address those and be like, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to give yourself credit for all the positive things you do.
Man, and you know,
and that's the thing we don't do, is we don't give ourselves like that self-love.
Mm-hmm. And I'm especially bad about it. And it feels like doing therapy has made like the shittier inner monologue like adapt like it's some sort of fucking Skynet AI bullshit where it's like, what was the thought? It was like, yeah, but you know, you might have done all these things, but you're still doing the shitty thing. It's like, fuck.
But that's what we do, right? That's what we do. We don't give ourselves credit. You know, if you're looking at me, you're going to say, oh, man, that's awesome, Jeff. You're doing great. But when we look at ourselves, we're like, oh, man. You know, if some people knew what was right beneath the surface of my brain, they'd be like, I wouldn't hang out with you. Right. You know, it's just we're so hard on ourselves. We're much nicer to the world around us, even strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's just remembering that we are works in process. We are not ever going to be done. If we're done, then we're dead. I mean, we should always be evolving. And some of that is going to be repetitive, you know?
Yeah. Man, what a great phrase. When it's done, we're dead. Right?
Is that
what
you're saying? I mean, you never arrive, right?
Yeah. You're on the journey, but you never reach your destination, but you get better.
And I think that's everything. I mean, that's our... We should be ever evolving in the way we take in information and change our, instead of just saying, oh, this is, you know, I'm this, and this is, I'm going to pull all the information that that supports this around me. We should be exposing ourselves to viewpoints that are different, mm-hmm. and then pulling in information and being like, you know what? I used to think this, but now I'm like thinking maybe this is the way. And so I feel like that's what we should be doing is, and people get so stuck with either religion or politics or whatever. And it's like, I know all the truth. And it's like, no, you don't. No. You don't. You think you do, but that's, to me, that's a cop out. And it's a safety mm-hmm. thing. It's a ritual, right?
Yep.
You're like, I'm, you know, all the answers. And so I don't have to think. All I have to do is say, no, this is the rule.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because we are taught these things as a kid. Kids are always fucking lied to no matter what. That's what adults do to kids. And so when kids find out the truth, they have a choice to either, oh man, no, I don't want to use a Matrix thing, but they have a choice to, this fucking jerk off motion red pill. It's like you can choose.
You know what though? The Matrix was pretty deep. It was. You know, there's a lot of depth to that. A lot of philosophy in that.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It should have been a standalone, but it was great.
You know, I mean, this is just an example of where I've evolved is like drugs. And so like I was taught drugs were bad. People that use drugs were dirty people. They were bad people. They were broken people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just like heroin. I'm talking about everything. And I don't do drugs. I mean, I have interest in drugs, but the whole idea is it's not dirty. Certain drugs are more problematic than others, but I was totally lied to about that. Mm-hmm. And it was just about classifying people in certain ways. And so it's like, now I'm just like, legalize it, man. You know, let people be who they are. They're not hurting nobody.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Right. And I mean,
and everything has a problem. Everything can be a problem mm-hmm. if it's misused.
That's true. It's we forget that they're just a substance. They're not a higher god. They're not put on a pedestal. They're chemicals that are inside a thing. And you ingest it.
If I tried a drug, I would want to have complete safety, but I'm interested in hallucinogenic drugs.
Oh yeah.
And like I'm not sure I'd want to do LSD. I might want to try shrooms. I'm not sure. And then part of me is a rule follower. So it's like, I don't know if I can convince myself to do it unless it's like legal, but I guess I could go to like Colorado, right? Everything's legal in Colorado.
I mean, not every drug. I think the only state that decriminalized not all drugs. Was it all drugs? No, maybe maybe it was Portland, but I know they
Portland. They decriminalized the charges. I don't think it's like, I mean, so if you're like caught on drugs, you're not going to be like, if you're using, you're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
They still might have problem with selling, but like, you're not going to get in trouble for like getting caught with drugs.
Yeah. And you know, that's a whole other batch of fucking patterns when you're, when you or have a substance abuse disorder. Was that right, Jeff?
Yep, you got it.
Fuck yeah. I'm fucking learning and changing all the fucking time. Because, like, and it sounds like to me, like, you've kind of, you know, you've brought up a very good point that, like, I am aware of these patterns and I'm aware of needing to work on them. And it's all a balancing act. It's all trying to to walk the tightrope and keep a balanced, healthy routine, and then throw in a little bit of fun. Throw in some fun shit. Have a weekend at a music festival. Fucking start a noise band. Fucking
get kill a hooker.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the good dopamine rush you need.
We do not condone the killing of hookers. That was just a joke. But yeah, I think that's what you got to remind yourself of is, yes, I'm working on it. I'm aware, I'm learning, and I'm working on it. And so it's okay to say I'm disappointed in myself, but you don't want to go back to, oh, look at me, I'm just right back where I started. Because mm-hmm. you're not back where you started. You have awareness. You're learning. Yeah. You're moving.
And really, it's also like it's feeling it. It's really like taking the time to push out the story narrative that happens with an internal monologue, you know, of like, I'm a stupid piece of shit. I'm worthless. I'm terrible. Pushing that out and really just feeling where it is in your body to process that feeling of shame or guilt or disappointment in yourself, or just like in my case, adjusting to change.
Yeah. And this weather has been a little bit difficult in the sense of, and you've gone through a lot of changes recently, but the weather has been so weird. It's like, I don't know what to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand what's happening. It's warm. It's cold. It's hot. I'll wear a sweater. It's too hot for it. I'll wear a normal shirt. It's too cold. It's like, I can't handle the options that are going on right now. I just need a steady temperature. It's either cold or it's hot. I just don't need both.
And you know, Jeff, I want to go ahead and introduce a new character to the podcast. It's Woke Michigan J Frog, which, yes, it is ironic. But this is where he would chime in and go, and that's called global warming.
What's his name again?
Woke Michigan J Frog.
Oh, yeah, Michigan J Frog.
Yeah, but we have the woke one. He was like,
you know, that cartoon really upset me.
Why did it upset you?
Why wouldn't he sing in front of people?
And you
why?
Know, and you know?
Why did he make a fool out of that guy?
The guy, because he needed it. And you know, the song he was singing was actually a like weird diss track to the term hello.
Huh.
It was like,
hello,
yeah, like,
my honey. Hello, my darling. Hello my ragtime gal.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's supposed to be making fun of the phrase hello, because hello wasn't, that's not how we greeted each other. You know, and what the guy who invented the telephone, he didn't even want people to answer the phone saying hello. He wanted them to say ahoy oy, or some weird shit like that.
Mm.
Yeah, just some stinky ass white people just fucking walking around going, yeah, hi, hi.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Jeff,
I like that character.
I love Michigan J Frog.
Yeah, I think it's, and it is global warming, and eventually our brains and our bodies will be scorched by the sun. It's going to happen, or we'll be flooded. But until that moment, we should be trying to take care of ourselves, take care of the earth, treat ourselves with kindness. And until we drowned in the boiling waters of the ocean.
I think that's what I was wanting to do. Like, I don't know if this has been a very heavy episode or if it hasn't been feel good like our other ones, all of our cheery
it hasn't
episodes.
Been it hasn't had as many laughs, I don't think, but this is serious stuff. This is sort of, I think this is a good sort of ending episode for the season, because this is what we started out with. We've had a lot of detours and a lot of fun, and but we wanted to talk about healing and how we learn and how we grow. And as a wise man once said, I'm not a piece of shit. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. Slick back hair, sloppy steaks.
What's when you pour water on a steak?
I don't know, but that's my favorite bit from I'm doing poorly a bit from I Think You Should Leave. It's my favorite bit from all the things. It's just, it's got a surreal piece to it. It's really crazy. It's got a baby in it. No babies are harmed, but just the whole idea of sloppy steaks. they can tell you you can't order sloppy steaks, but they can't keep you from getting a glass of water and pouring it on it. We may have lost our audience now, but I Think You Should Leave is the one of the best things that I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, that's a great show. And you know, like you mentioned earlier, and just wanted to make it like known to the listeners, yeah, we're going to be taking a little holiday break, you know, get some time to
rest. Yeah, we've worked hard.
Damn it.
We need to hibernate for the winter.
We've brought in you all, probably four of you, 25 high quality episodes to listen to about how these certain subjects are traumatic. And, you know, I want to end things off on a sentimental note here and say, Jeff, I greatly appreciate you for doing this podcast with me, and I'm internally grateful for you for that. And you bring such like a neat perspective and so insightful. You know how to get the shit I'm trying to say into a proper thing. And, you know, I'm glad that we got to do 25 episodes for this season.
Yeah, I am too. I appreciate you and that you have been sort of the energy force behind it. You have organized things, you have edited, you have posted, you have been sort of the lifeblood behind all that we've done. And it's been a good learning experience. And I always feel better after we do these things. So, it's definitely mutual.
Yeah. It's going to be a weird adjustment, honestly. Cause I like these conversations themselves, and this whole thing is very therapeutic, and I'm very grateful for it. That's why I have so much energy and
yeah,
want to put that towards it. Cause it's very therapeutic, and I hope it helps out people who listen to it.
Yeah, I hope it does too. And we will be talking, even though we're not going to be recording, about what we're going to do next season.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think there's 25-ish hours of us just talking out there in the world that maybe will be the last thing that people listen to as they're drowning in the boiling sea.
As the world sinks under, the last thing that humanity will hear is, I think this has reached its logical conclusion. Jeff, do you have any final thoughts?
I think we need that on a shirt, but no, I don't. I've enjoyed this process. It's hard to believe that there's been 25 episodes, but we have plans to do more. We're going to take a break. It's time for a long winter's nap.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be back, and you can always just the episodes. You can listen to them again.
Yeah.
So you can just keep listening. You can make a mixtape of your favorite bits.
Yep. That's right. And, you know, you can go back, catch up. I mean, I'm sure 25 episodes is nothing to someone who avidly or is very, like, strict on listening to podcasts. But
yeah,
there's something there. But yeah, this isn't goodbye. This is see you later. See you next year. Thank you for listening.
We'll come back with a new look, a new feel, sleeker,
more rested, ready to take on the world and all its trauma. And from everyone and everything, us here at Everything is Traumatic, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Jeff.
And please, take care of yourself.